I'm sure these are words you probably haven't heard for a little while. The future's here. Big surprise, right? With the rise of vertical retirement communities, not virtual, vertical, being established in high-rise apartments, offering supposedly luxurious opportunities similar to hotel suites. Despite the smart technology being introduced, some are concerned high-rise communities may lead to further social isolation, something that we probably all struggle with and see increasing amount of in our modern digital age. Joining me now to speak about it is David Tuffley, a senior lecturer at Griffith University. Thank you for joining me this morning, David.
Thank you, Sam.
So what is so high-tech about these vertical retirement villages?
These villages are having a lot more of the sort of technology that's come along in recent years, like talking about the last 5 or 10 years, that comes up to the kind of standard that you might see in hospitals not too long ago. And it's not just health-related technology, it's entertainment technology and so on. And so what we're seeing is that baby boomers who are, you know, retiring, they're getting to that age, they're often people who've had quite a bit of time with technology over their working lives, and they're pretty focused that way. And they're comfortable and they want that sort of technological environment to live in once they are retired. And, of course, the other thing here is that they're healthy and they're interested in, you know, doing all the things that people do in the bright lights of the city, and they would quite like to stay where mm-hmm. they can do that rather than retire to a retirement community out on the urban fringe, which, you know, is going to be a lot quieter.
So leaving this sort of, I guess, a couple of issues with those aside for a moment, how affordable might these be, considering they sound like they're fairly luxurious, high-tech in the city and so forth? Will they actually be widely affordable by people, or will they only be for a select few?
Look, I think the pricing is obviously important, and at the moment it's towards the upper end of the affordability scale, but like any of these sort of technological trends, as time goes by, things get cheaper and cheaper. So within, you know, a few years, 5 or 10 years, it'll be a lot more affordable than it would be right now. So, I mean, looking at an example from the Netherlands, they've got a model working really well over there where university students are given free accommodation in these communities in return for about 30 hours a week of, well, it really is community service to the residents there. So it might be doing a bit of shopping or picking something up or, you know, basically just benefiting from that intergenerational thing going on there. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it can be catering to all ends of the spectrum.
So without going into the land of, you know, smart home, weird science fiction, what are the potential costs of delegating care of aging population to digital technology instead of living humans and sort of taking that human element out of it a little bit?
Yeah, that's...
Or altogether.
Sure. I mean, that's the critical point. And what we're seeing is, you know, the technology is getting cheaper all the time. And this is where it's going to make all the difference. In a few years' time, it'll be much more affordable. And, you know, the other thing is that getting humans to do sort of that sort of work in aged care facilities is not that easy anymore. People don't actually really want to do that kind of work, and that's why in Japan, for example, they have robots already working in aged care mm-hmm. facilities that take care of all of that, you know, take people to the bathroom and all of that. So it's, you know, the technology is the answer to the problem. Otherwise, it would be more expensive.
Well, how about the social costs of this in terms of social isolation and, you know, not really having an interaction with humans on a daily basis?
Yeah, with good planning and good town, you know, if the town planning and the architectural design of these places is done right, and we have some excellent, you know, architects and people who can set up a community that actually works well at that social level. And this leads on to the really important point, is that governments at all three levels are pretty keen to see this sort of thing going on because, well, for a number of things, but they want to see people stay in their homes for longer so that the decision to go into an aged care facility, the health system as it is delayed so that people stay longer in their homes, they have a better life living in their homes, and that's what they want. You know, nobody wants to go into hospital. The other thing is that from the local point of view, infrastructure costs, when you've got a really dispersed city, low-density city, because everybody's living in, detached houses, then the infrastructure costs of putting roads in and public transport and schools and hospitals, it becomes really high. And that's why they're trying to encourage people to live closer to the center of town without compromising the quality of life that they might otherwise enjoy. So, it's a social trend that if it's done well, would benefit everybody. But of course, if the dangers are avoided of creating these sort of tall, containers for old people who don't get out to talk to anybody, that doesn't have to happen. Mm-hmm. In fact, it wouldn't get through the planning process if that's what somebody was wanting to do.
Okay, well, thank you so much, David, for joining us this morning to tell us about it.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank
you. Absolutely.